TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is World Stage with Bruce DeTorres, exposing the tyrannies and exploring our power with deep dives into history, current events, dangerous trends, and the nature of reality. Fascinating, this former actor taking it personally when our representatives are proven to lie to us, because I was a professional liar. I was an actor, but I was honest. You paid your money, you sat in the audience, and you knew I was faking and fooling with whatever we were doing on stage. We tried to make it look and sound and feel really, really real, but we earned your money because you knew that we were fooling and pretending. And I really resent those who lie. So, and also I'm fascinated by what it takes to create an illusion. And the Pentagon, back in, I think, 2017, admitted that they can't account for, I think the figure was, $21 trillion since 1998 up to that point. Arguably, we have to consider that everything shown to us by presidents and spokespeople and agency heads and news readers and reporters on the scene has been staged for us. Those things are really happening, but with a $21 trillion budget, you can create, give, and show and convince the world absolutely anything that you want. And that's why I wrote the book that I did, God, School, 9/11, and JFK. And that's why I'm in love with TNT Radio. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Today's News Talk, a free speech platform. And this week, Project Veritas has blown a lot of minds with the videos of the Pfizer executive admitting that Pfizer took under consideration, floated the idea at a meeting. Maybe it was that innocuous. Because if you really pay attention to what he said, that's really all he's admitted. Then his embellishments seem to say it's definitely something being looked at. But that's an inference. He doesn't really say that. He just says it came up. The idea came up at a meeting. Maybe we should turbocharge diseases in order to have more vaccines to roll out. That's what he was implying. And Project Veritas has as their tagline, or one of their taglines, be brave, do something. And for many folks who listen to TNT Radio, it would be a scary challenge for the first time to ask their friends and family around them, hey, you know, do you know anyone who thinks that maybe the vaccines are causing more harm than good? You know, that's a scary moment when you're around people who believe the mainstream version of things. Well, it's just a question, and it's in that conversation you will see who is capable of critical thinking. And as I've been doing that kind of thing for 15 years, if not more, and I guarantee you that when you do it enough, sooner than later, people are going to say, yes, oh, I'm absolutely convinced. and you will be blown away at how many people do know the truth. And it puts you in a very exciting movie called Your Real Life. And to be a free people requires that we challenge each other to do this. I came to this, like I said, from a show business background, from someone who intentionally, you know, created illusions. And my next guests are Rick Marcelli and Robin Bragg Marcelli. And Rick has had 57 years in show business, covering every area in the entertainment world, from television producer to personal manager, record producer, music publisher, music video producer. He was executive producer for TV shows on Fox Network, ITV, the BBC in England, New Zealand, and with Dick Clark Productions. And he was the director of development for CBS with William Self Productions. He's a member of the Producers Guild and Television Academy. And his wife, Robin Bragg Marcelli, has 45 years in management at UCLA, including management of 5 UCLA Extension campuses. And she was vice president of NoHo West NC. She's EMT trained, Ambassador City of Santa Monica. And they're both volunteers with the LAPD and the FBI. They're both FBI alumni with the FBI LAC, AAA, and FBI InfraGuard LA, both certified in Homeland Security Emergency Management. I wanted to get all that in there and conclude with the great book that they wrote called Hide Your Love Away, An Intimate Story of Brian Epstein, as told by Larry Stanton, a show business story, which I gravitate toward and just love those looks behind the curtain of what did it take to be in show business, or how was this person's show business career for them. Full disclosure, I do marketing for Trine Day, the publisher of Hide Your Love Away. And I want to read this paragraph about the book. And while the Beatles were basking in success, their manager, Brian Epstein, was living a secret life filled with terror, hiding a darker side with notorious gangsters, backstabbing music moguls, blackmail, and murder. Larry Stanton, an American, reveals for the first time his intimate relationship with Brian and the quest to find love and companionship in a world where it was illegal to do so. They were persecuted by the laws against homosexuality, harassed by a sociopathic, mysterious lover, and immersed in a world of drug abuse, all of which may have contributed to Brian's untimely death. Or was it murder? Their book, Hide Your Love Away, approaches the answer to that lingering question. Rick and Robin, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to hear your voice. And wow, what an introduction. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Bruce. That was very nice. We're doing fine. You're doing well, too.
I am doing very, very well. Did you have anything top of mind that you want to start with, or shall I pick your brain with some questions? How would you like to commence?
I am afraid that where I would start, I'm afraid of what I would say. So maybe you should say just.
Why don't we start with the book, and that's going to lead to a lot of
whatever Bruce would like. How's that, Bruce?
Well, I wanted. What were you afraid to say?
Oh gosh, you know, we unfortunately came upon a video that was broadcast by, is it Veritas?
Project Veritas.
It was a video that they sort of, I guess, trapped, if you will, unexpectedly trapped, cornered a gentleman that happened to be the executive. What was it? He was an executive at Pfizer Corporation. I his exact title was Director of Research, Development, and Strategic Operations and mRNA Scientific Planning. His name was Jordan Tristan Walker. And it was so disturbing because they started asking him about COVID. And basically, he, one, admitted that it came from Wuhan Laboratories, which you've never heard a Pfizer executive ever say. Two, he also said that that COVID was a cash cow for Pfizer and that they're planning on developing other viruses so they could create other vaccines.
So instead of it being a gain of function, which has been a big thing in the news for a number of years now, they've renamed it to something that seems to be more acceptable to the public, and that is a directed evolution. So that's really what they're calling what they are working on in order to create new vaccines, hence the cash cow part of it.
He said he said it was probably bad for America, but it was really good for Pfizer. Now
I saw that video. Just one little memory is that he said that that idea came up as something that they could do. So he didn't, in my memory of what I heard him say, he didn't say that they're definitely doing that or they've done it or they decided to do it. Then he says some things that indicate, oh, it didn't just come up in that meeting. It might be an ongoing effort to do exactly what you just said. So I'm
correct.
Just qualifying
correct.
It a little bit.
Except, but, you're absolutely correct.
Except that he was insisted that it was all about, and these were his words, cash cow. And then he also said it wasn't good for America, but it was good for Pfizer. He did say that.
Needless to say, that was very disturbing, regardless of whether they're actually going to do it, are doing it. It was just a disturbing conversation to have overheard. Now, granted, it did take the guy by surprise. He thought he was on a matchmaker date or something like that. And he was, immediately said that he was lying, trying to impress the person he was with.
And when it was finally exposed that who he was talking to, he said he was lying. But he was so specific, in our opinion, that I don't believe he was a tremendous liar or he was telling the truth, because he was too specific about the details of what he was saying.
Well, and it got us to wondering. I mean, that's, that little seed is planted. So that got us to
What also bothered us, and I don't know how you found it, Bruce, but none of the media is carrying it. None of it. No. And of course, NBC, as an example, or let's just say CNN, and I'm not trying to dish any of them, but their major sponsors are pharmaceutical companies. So that could be the reason why it hasn't aired on those networks. Also, he brought up the fact that the executives at Pfizer were all politicians, so that they would, and he made the statement
regulators.
That they're regulators and that they would hire them so that they could get around what they wanted to do. And he compared it to the military. And I thought that was pretty much.
It was disturbing.
It sounded like the truth to me, and sounded like how Washington works. And it was very disturbing. And of course, at the very end, he got very, very upset when he found out who was interviewing him. And I would say that it's not unfair to say that he got pretty violent. I mean, he grabbed the computer, slammed it on the ground. He then said that. Called the police and said there were five white people trying to harm him. And of course, the newscaster was going, "We're not harming you. We're just asking you questions." So it got really kind of on that side. It got as crazy as the information that he gave. His emotions got really out of hand. I would be surprised if this gets out that he would have a job. I thought it would leak out to the press. But then again, the press that we have today, and I don't care if what side of the fence you're on, is very, it's you don't get the truth from any one station anymore. You get their opinions, and you get
they're all speculators,
and you get what side their bread is buttered. If you follow my drift,
absolutely. And the independent and internet platforms have been talking about that video for the last day or two, and it really illustrates the big schism between those who just watch the mainstream news, the official corporate media, and those who research anything for themselves on the independent platforms are in two different realities. And the claims and the evidence about the shots for COVID are the tip of the spear, the biggest elephant in the room about what some percentage of Americans know and what others don't. We're going to talk about this and more on the other side of the break. We've got the Marcellis with us to talk about everything under the sun. This is Bruce DeTauris. You're with World Stage, and this is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's James Freeman.
The AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine debacle in the UK. So back in 2021, the government rolled out its COVID-19 vaccine program. AstraZeneca was one of the main vaccines available at the time, and the rollout started in January/February 2021. In early March, several regulators started raising the alarm. Denmark then withdrew the AstraZeneca vaccine on March the 11th after vaccinating 734,000 people. The UK had vaccinated 24 million people, but the MHRA couldn't detect a safety signal, even though other regulators were doing their job and picking this up. There are thousands of reports on the yellow card system dating back as early as February, but the MHRA didn't pick this up. And funny enough, we know now from FOIs that have been put in that the MHRA doesn't even have an internal process for its staff to follow up on yellow card reports.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
In a world of propaganda, the truth is always a conspiracy. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is Bruce DeTauris on World Stage with my friends Rick Marcelli and Robin Bragg Marcelli. Show business and management experts and lovely human beings and my friends talking about the Pfizer executive recently videotaped surreptitiously by Project Veritas. And they have a great tagline: be brave, do something. Don't you love that?
Yes.
Well, we're definitely those that do something. I think that's pretty much, since Rick and I have been together, has followed us. We follow it and it follows us, really. We're, we research, we investigate, we get a big, not just for our own reasons, but to be able to inform other people and have even if it's a debate type of conversation, be able to have those conversations about anything that's happened in the past, as well as what's currently in the news.
Right. And it couldn't be more crucial. To continue a little bit about Pfizer, I recommend everybody go to the following website. Not right now. Daily Clout, clout.io. That's Naomi Wolf's site. And she has a team of people qualified to go through the Pfizer documents that a court ordered released last year, a year and a half ago, about how they developed their shot for COVID. And it is chapter and verse proof of their foreknowledge of its horrible, harmful effects, especially on women and their reproductive system. Naomi Wolf goes so far lately to say she considers it nothing less, if I'm recalling correctly, a genocide, an assault on humanity's ability to reproduce, among all the other horrors. Yes, Robin.
Well, we've got three daughters, and just that topic in itself of your last statement is horrifying and causes nightmares, honestly, because I worry about their future.
I believe on Naomi's site, dailyclout.io, she's got resources, or Steve Kirsch's outfit at vacsafety.org, vacsafety.org. If you've been injured or think you've been injured or know someone who's been injured, there are resources out there. Yes, Rick?
Well, you know, two things. One is that it's our concerns are not political, meaning it doesn't condone or dismiss or praise either party that we have. We're really basically, I guess we're a three-party, but two-party dominant system in the States. It's really not about attacking one party or the other. It's for where we come from, it's about common sense and doing the right thing for ourselves and all the people. It's kind of like, you know, that term, we the people. That's not a political agenda. That's about us in a mass. It's just finding the right way to look at things and to see things and striving to get the truth. And it seems that getting the truth nowadays is harder, even though with all the forms of communication, getting the truth is harder to get to. It's hard to find the truth. It seems like every time someone is expressing their viewpoint, there's a political agenda behind it. They're wanting you to think a certain way.
Well, they knock you down, one opinion, you know, and if another opinion, they may let your voice be heard. But, you know, just deciphering some of the information that's out there is difficult.
You know, Robin and I, because, you know, again, we just can't help ourselves. we actually started exploring and actually had two meetings. One was in L.A. and one was in Nevada with a infectious disease specialist. What we found is, and it was surprising that they admitted this, but they said that people that took the vaccination, especially if they were impaired with some kind of immuno problem, that their immune system, when tested, you know, those diseases, they get blood tests, they get tested every 3, 4, 5 months or something. And they've noticed that after the vaccination, that their immune system was down. And I said, well, is that normal? They said it is for people that have a vaccination. I said, but will it rebound? We don't know.
So just think of people with HIV or Hep C or you know, even more serious.
Yeah, that got the vaccination, but then got boosted and then got boosted again and then got boosted again. When they're saying the specialists, the infectious disease specialists are admitting that it drives your immune system down. So if you have it down from one shot and you get another shot, it keeps driving it down. So in some ways, that will probably push that person into death.
Yeah.
Our job, as I see it, everybody's job is to look into this stuff, maybe at the sites I mentioned, until the split second you're comfortable bringing it up with friends and family and coworkers who you're afraid to bring it up to, because the odds are, in my impression, if they're not afflicted, they know someone who is afflicted, and this needs to be discussed sooner than later. I also have the hope, and I'm seeing enough signs to indulge this hope, that So many people are having this conversation that every day more and more people are having these kinds of conversations, and it won't be long before it's acknowledged. You know, Fauci just retired. Bill Gates might say, oh, I'm going to retire for a little bit too, because these guys have to hide because of the truth that's coming. And I've already seen advertisements for a new agency, I think here in New York City. Oh, it's dedicated to if you've got the symptoms of heart disease or heart attack. Well, we know that the injections are correlated, if not causative, about those kind of things. Witness all the celebrities and athletes who are dying suddenly, often in front of us. So they're already poised to capitalize on giving us guidance and maybe selling us more medication for the injuries caused by the medication we took recommendation. So, and also back to the political parties, and it's hard to know the truth anymore. Welcome to planet Earth. History teaches us it's the same as it ever was. It's quite reassuring to know, there's nothing wrong with this age. This is how it always was. Even a reading of the founding and the first presidential administrations, George Washington's, but really with Adams and Jefferson, the second and third presidents, because everything was kind of held in abeyance while Washington was president and when he was on the scene, because he had such a uniquely revered position and place in our hearts and in culture. But as soon as he was gone from the scene, it was factions and lies. And like, we all have cell phones and we can all post on our social media. Back then, anyone who could get a printing press had a newspaper, and there were pamphleteers handing out things. It was the same chaos of he said, she said, diametrically opposed claims and opinions. Absolutely. And summaries and conclusions and interpretations, enough to make old Thomas Jefferson and John Adams in their retirement thank the stars that they are not in the chaos of the debates and the firestorm of the political antagonisms. So, until we're totally retired and can just put our feet up in the hammock on the beach, it's just, we just have to engage and we have to, participate in these things. Rick, you weren't complaining about these things. I just like reflecting on it because it's a consolation to know there's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with our time. It's just, the stakes are very high. I just heard a news thing that said the people who set the atomic clock said it's at the most dangerous point ever since its creation in the 1940s or 50s. We are 90 seconds from midnight in terms of the danger the world faces because of the current conditions of the world. Pick up anything out of that or in that or anything else you want to reply to, but we sure do live in interesting times, as our publisher Chris Milligan likes to say.
Yes, and as far as retiring, I will say that's not a word in our vocabulary. We don't plan on retiring.
One of the things that when you said, you look that possibly things are starting to turn around, what scares me is that if you go back to the late 70s, early 80s, the lies that were told about HIV and the remedies, the medical remedies that they had for AIDS patients back in 79, 80, through 80, maybe 85, or even 86, so maybe up to 1990. I remember that what they were pushing, and this is Dr. Robert Gallo and Dr. Fauci, were pushing to cure AIDS patients was AZT. And if you've ever looked up AZT or the man that invented it, he basically said, I never forgot the quote, he said it was not for human consumption. And, we lost over 80,000 people, that had AIDS by all sorts of various different ways. You can get it not just by being gay, but people were dying, but I think they were being dying by the medication they were being given. It wasn't until they developed the cocktail and pulled out AZT that patients were surviving it, and that it was then now treated like dealing with, let's say, diabetes or whatever. In other words, it's treatable. But back in those days, and by the way, that was when Locke Montagnier said he discovered HIV, when in actuality he took the paperwork I'm yeah. sorry. I'm sorry. Dr. Robert Gallo took the said he discovered HIV, but he actually took the research papers away from Locke Montagnier in France, and sort of ran forward and said he discovered it, which was wrong, illegal, egotistical. France sued the United States and won. But if you look up who discovered HIV, I don't know how they came to this conclusion, but they put both Locke Montagnier and Robert Gallo. And anyway,
the story you told of the harm of the ACT, I believe, is in Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci, and it is a screaming example of a previous thing, just like this COVID thing. Go ahead.
I don't have the I was just looking for it. I don't have the book in front of me, so I can't remember. But there was a book written by Dr. Duesberg and about AIDS. Also, Carrie Mullis, who won a Nobel Prize for, I think, PCR. They were both dead against that HIV caused AIDS. They felt it was another factor, and they felt there was another way to treat it.
Right.
But they were closed off. And, of course, Robert Gallo, who was he? He was Fauci's boss. He was Fauci's mentor. So that's where he learned it. And at the time, before AIDS came into being, pretty much the CDC was going out of business because they didn't have a good disease to make money off of. When they got a hold of AIDS, it bankrolled them. And so my problem is, no one got their hands slapped, or maybe that's all they got, regarding how they dealt with AIDS patients that died worldwide. And so now we're all the way up here with COVID, and it's hard for me to believe anything's going to come from it, whether they're retired, hiding or not. I just think they'll escape any kind of acknowledgement or punishment.
It's like those higher powers in the vaccines or the pharmaceutical companies or even medical research are looking for the next disease. They embrace it because they want to create the next form of medicine. I mean, think about going back even with where was it polio, Rick, with the vaccine that killed many people.
When they first came out with Jonas Salk came out with his polio vaccines, I think the first and second trial, I believe they killed our president then, his grandchildren, because he rolled out and said, oh, it's a safe vaccine, and it wasn't.
It was the first, I believe, the first round or two of the product that was released to the general public.
Yes.
It wasn't a trial, I don't think, yeah.
Right.
Right. But even worse,
this has been happening for a long time.
Well, yeah. And also, by the late 50s and early 60s, those in the know knew that, oops, many doses of the polio vaccine, supposedly corrected for the problems that you just described, were contaminated with monkey viruses that caused cancer. And they knew that numbers of millions of baby and infant Americans were given that polio vaccine in the late 50s, early 60s. And there was a great push to find a supposed cure or antidote for cancer because they knew down the road, and this is exactly what we've seen in the 70s and 80s, was this explosion of what they call, I guess, the soft tissue cancers. And
I was going to say, sorry to interrupt, but I did find the name of the book I was referring to. It was by Peter H. Duesberg. It's called Inventing the AIDS Virus. And the foreword is by Nobel laureate Carrie Mullis. And Peter Duesberg was a professor of molecular and cell biology at University of California at Berkeley. And he was a pioneer in retrovirus research, the first scientist to isolate a cancer gene and recipient of the Outstanding Investigator's Grant from the National Institute of Health.
Right.
He wrote this book. He got completely blackballed.
Well, we're making the case that The AIDS official story is a lie and actually something of a self-inflicted wound. Might as well call it a false flag. And so is this COVID and how it's been handled. And at the point of despair, it's great to imagine and remember and remind each other that nature is such a mysterious and miraculous thing that it's not all doom and gloom if folks can open their minds and pursue other kind of remedies in addition to whatever your doctor will prescribe for you, because there are generations unborn that are coming, and we are responsible for creating the healthiest environment based on the truth and saving ourselves with all the remedies that might be at hand. And I recently participated in a podcast with a fellow who's a historian on the history of cannabis, and he says Mother Nature produces all the medicine that we need. And cannabis, for example, was taken off the market by the pharmaceutical powers 100 years ago, and we've been given chemically concocted copies ever since, because nature will grow now. Who can have farmland now? Who can have unregulated free growth of anything anywhere? This is our challenge, and the systems are so corrupt, we have to indulge the hope that what is corrupt will collapse, and we have to be ready to be the calmest person in the foxhole. And just maybe I'm saying that to cheer myself up.
Well, we hope. We're right there with you. Yes, because you know we've got grandchildren, you know, young grandchildren. And our hopes for their future. At the moment, we teeter totter on, and it's because of what you hear, see, read nowadays. Even with the movies that they've made nowadays, those that are up for Academy Awards, and the most recent awards, the Golden Globes. They're all depressing. And not that they aren't well-made movies with great actors, but the subject matter, it's all dark and gloom and doom and, subject matter. So it's very hard. I mean, how can you say you're going to go to a movie which you figure will make you feel good, feel better, educate you, and all you do is come out feeling like you want to go hide your head in the sand?
Well, yeah, the Banshees of, what's it called?
Inisherin.
Is like would be a companion movie for anybody that wanted to commit suicide. And by the way, there's a number of movies that are equally as dark as that. And you could say it's a black comedy, but it's really dark. It's really depressing. I think a terrific movie out there called Tar with Kate Blanchett. I think she, by all rights, should win the Academy Award, but she won't because, you know, I won't even say it, but it's a terrific movie because it is dark. Then you've got that other movie, Here, There, Everywhere, and
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once,
which is an incredible production. And by the way, the woman that starred in that movie is
incredible.
I just think that it was a hard way to tell a simple story.
Is it demoralizing like the other examples you just mentioned?
Well, I just think that we're living in a world that I don't know about. I guess the world, but certainly the United States. We're living in a depressed era, and the reflection is: look at the songs that are being sung and written. Look at the songs that are hit records. Look at the movies that are hit, that are being produced and spent millions of dollars on marketing and all. They're all depressed movies. You know, in the 1928, 1929, when their big crash happened, what were the movies doing? They were having Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers come out and sing and dance and live in opulence and Art Deco and wonderful cars and
We're gonna live in a little break right now, and we will be back soon. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Australian researcher Bevan Dockery, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, has asked me to distribute this. Actually, he's asked a bunch of us to distribute this. All I could do is distribute a small part of it here. Fact is that 99% of the radiation absorbed by atmospheric CO2 is in the 15 micron wavelength band, micron being one millionth of a meter in length. This equates to the lower end of the cold, far infrared spectrum with a frequency of 20.02 terahertz and a photon energy of 1.33 times 10 to the minus 20th joules. It coincides with peak radiation from a source at minus 80 degrees C, the minimum temperature occasionally reached in Antarctica. So when you take all this into account, and there's a lot more that he has put out here, how is it that CO2 is causing planetary warming? The answer is, it's not. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog, meteorologist Joe Bastardi, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Controversy has dogged Black Lives Matter finances, Patrice Cullors, and other board members. Fiscal 2020 tax filings of the Black Lives Matter Foundation's finances show that expenses of $2,167,894 went to the Bowers Consulting Firm, which is owned by current board member Shalamaya Bowers. Los Angeles-based Trap Heels LLC, owned by Damon Turner, received $969,459 for live production, design, and media. Turner, a rapper and artist, is the father of Cullors' son. The BLM Foundation also paid $840,993 to Cullors Protection LLC, a company owned by Patrice Cullors' brother, Paul, and established in July 2020. In an interview to MSNBC to clear her name, Cullors said that BLM was unprepared for the rush of donations and complained that her mistakes were being weaponized against her. According to the tax filings, the Black Lives Matter Foundation still has more than $50 million in donations, and $32 million of that was invested in the stock market.
You're listening to Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're talking with Rick Marcelli and Robin Bragg Marcelli about vital life-saving information and the challenge of living in a time when it can be oh so hard to discern what's real, what's not. One thing that's real is their book, Hide Your Love Away, a true story of, where's that little, an intimate story of Brian Epstein as told by Larry Stanton. Do you want to continue any thought from before the break, or can I ask you some questions about your book?
I'd like to just finish what I was saying about when I was mentioning about the movies in 1928, 1930, about how the industry sort of uplifted the American spirit. But even though we were in the market had crashed in 29, the industry was trying to lift the spirit of the citizens of the United States. Yes, you could talk about Second World War in 1943, 42, 45, when we did a lot of, army movies or pro-army, pro-U.S., and you could say they were propaganda films, but they were propaganda films in the terms of keeping the spirit of the serving servicemen, the boys that just left home to go protect our country.
Patriotic.
And I probably was the only good war that I could ever talk about, because since then, it's been nothing but a series of wars that are filled with lies. But the fact is that the motion picture industry then took pride in trying to help how we felt in a positive way. Now, when you forward to the movies of today, this year, the ones that were nominated, you're looking at a very depressing situation. And it just, to me, is a reflection of where we are as a society, and it's sad. Now we can move on if you'd love.
Well, it could be a reflection of us as a society, or it could be another example of the psychological warfare targeting us in a full spectrum dominance campaign by the psychopaths at the top. Because the movie industry, the movie companies, the giant pharmaceutical corporations who we were talking about, my impression is if you go up to the ownership level, it's a revolving door among many of, plus with government agencies and the military industrial complex and the intelligence complex and the banking industries. there's collusion up at the top that is surrounding us with things to sicken and demoralize us. So it's captured by corrupt, quote unquote, the elites, and we're in for the fight of our lives. And yet this is how we're supposed to think for ourselves. We're supposed to struggle and crawl for knowledge and wisdom and discernment and to compare notes with other human beings. Does it look like that to you? Yeah, it looks like that to me. Well, wait a minute. Remember when that happened? Oh, yeah. So maybe it's not like that. Ideally with extended family, ideally with older generations, to have the wisdom of those who've walked this earth more than we have to figure it all out. And it couldn't be more urgent. And turning off the mainstream to get some peace and quiet, do some soul searching, to find some peace, and then to find some power and to find some exuberance is our challenge. You wrote a very moving book. Robin, any thoughts?
I was just going to say, very well said, Bruce. Very well said.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed Hide Your Love Away, and I want to cut right to this question. What was the thing that compelled you over time? Because it's a lot of work to write a book. What was the guiding thing you could always rely on to revive your enthusiasm for the work for it? Was it your concern and feelings for Larry, your friend, or was it something about the story that, you know what, at the end of the day, here's why this story needed to be told?
Well, it's you're right. It does go beyond our love and care of Larry, about Larry and his story, and who he was involved with and those other people that came into his life. But the subject matter was part of my life in the past as well. And both Rick and I, growing up in a time where we saw, experienced, had many friends that fit in the category of having to hide their feelings, hide their love, it was a real, you know, it really affected us. So that was our really motivator for wanting to continue on with writing the story. And we've really had such pleasure and joy putting the story together. And it did take a few years to do that, but
I, if you don't mind, I also think to really pound it in that nowadays, even though gay rights have gone pretty much, you know, they've been exposed and accepted by a great deal, even though I guess there are still people that are still arguing for their rights and what have you, but compared to the 50s and 60s, when it was illegal in England as well as in the United States, you know, England started changing their laws on homosexuality. I think the year Brian died in 1967, and they didn't change in the United States until into the 2000s. I forget when, 2000 and I forget when, it's 2001 or something like that. But it's what we tried to show was the struggle. You know, my wife and I, you know, we could hold hands going down the street. We can give a little kiss to each other. You couldn't do that as a gay person without possibly being arrested. Now, it's true. There are still parts of the world that if you do that to this day, you'll be arrested, might even lose your head. But in England and America, you know, there were laws against that. And we felt sorry for and felt sad about how Larry couldn't live I hate to use the word normal because I don't even know what that is anymore, but he couldn't live what we viewed as a normal life. He couldn't express his feelings about someone because he was afraid he was going to be persecuted or at one time being arrested. That was part of the real motivation to sort of let people know about the struggle, because I think young people now, especially young gay people, don't realize there was a struggle. They just they have a different take on it, and it's the dismissal of the history and the struggle of all of these people that stood up for their rights. and finally got them.
Well, and a lot of people didn't even realize it wasn't until 1973 that the American Psychiatric Association took off of their list that being homosexual was a psychiatric disorder. At one point, that's what they thought that it was. And so they took, you know, those that were found to be gay and tried to change them with that in mind. So there have been a lot of struggles.
Yeah.
Yes.
Part of it occurs to me that, well, continue. I'm sorry, Robin.
Well,
did you have,
Yeah, I was going to say that I grew up in a family where I guess initially it was bisexual, but, you know, was realized that it was homosexuality, and that was my father. So I was very young, and when I heard the term and when I found out about it, and for myself, I wasn't sure what it was. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I finally realized that, you know, I can talk about it. I was afraid to even talk about it. What would my friends think? What would, I mean, family members knew about it, of course, but it was something that even affected me in that way, that I wasn't sure what, I was afraid of being outcast if it was found out that my father was a homosexual man. I'm very pleased and happy. He led a very good life. My mother and my father remain friends. They're both passed away now. But my father had a partner for, you know, 35, 40 years that, you know, they were together and lived a happy life together. And I embraced, you know, both my father and his partner as well. But it took some time for me to get comfortable even discussing it. And that with this, talking to Larry and with writing our story.
And was it
I want to, Rick, if I could just, I'm watching the clock, Rick. I just want to say this about your book, Hide Your Love Away. It's really a great detective story, mystery story, because of the toxic lover who enters the story and his impact and effect on Brian Epstein and the trajectory, the impact he had on the rest of his life and most likely his early demise. I think it answers a lot of questions, fills in a lot of holes in Beatles fans and others who have been intrigued about the circumstances about Brian's death. Please, you know, tell or discuss anything you want, or talk to that if you want.
Yeah, well, we knew something that nobody else knew. Yes. That was something that came out in the story.
This toxic lover that you mentioned that's in the book has been written about in a lot of books, a lot of Beatle books, that Brian was dating this guy, but nobody really knew where he came from. And where he came from is Larry Stanton introduced Brian to this guy, because this particular guy was Larry's roommate's high school buddy was this guy. And this is where this introduction came, and this is where this toxic relationship started. And and so we divulge that, we get into that whole sort of relationship that Brian had with this guy. And he was a, you know, it's interesting. You know, during one of the last concerts that the Beatles were having, which you'd expect Brian to be at, and he was certainly, I think it was in New York, he was supposed to be at their concert, but he wasn't at the concert because this toxic lover stole his briefcase with compromising photographs, basically at orgies and what have you, contracts, and cash. He stole the briefcase that had all this in there, this toxic lover did, and Brian and his attorney were running around New York chasing him down when they should have been at the concert, you know, which is... For us,
well, it was amazing to find that out, even though that's been talked about, but to see where that came from. And that is, you know, the characters that Larry was introduced to, the world of celebrity that Brian, of course, was circled circled by. And the things that were being held over his head were really fascinating to find out, because we really did learn.
One of the things that we try to find out.
Rick, one of the things over our head is the dwindling time. Where can people and should people follow you in your work?
Well, we have a website, marcellicompany.com. The book is published by Trine. And
that's at hideyourloveaway.com.
Hideyourloveaway.com. Yes, we have that website as well. And they can purchase it either through Trine Day or they can go to Amazon.
Rick and Robin, I am so grateful. Thank you so much for joining me today. I know I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks, everybody. This is TNT Radio.